very impressive. As have the South East Melbourne Phoenix been. I wonder what they were at the start of the year to win the NBL title. They'll be charging into favouritism too very shortly because they are 3-0 to kick off their history in the NBL. And Simon Mitchell's the coach, doing a hell of a job with this crew, and he's good enough to join us on a Monday morning on The Breakfast Club. G'day, Simon.
How are we doing, fellas?
Going very well. Thank you, buddy. Mate, you are just flying, just humming along magnificently. And you're working hard, clearly, but you must be wrapped with the way things are going with your boys.
Yeah, no, probably would have predicted a 3-0 start. I think it's the first time in NBL history a team's been able to do that. But, they've been great. You know, a little bit of adversity in there with Ty Wesley going down in game one, and the boys have overcome, and everyone's sort of had to kick in and do a little extra. So, very pleased with where we're at the moment.
I'm glad you mentioned Ty Wesley. He was one of my favourite players at Melbourne United, I must admit. And when I saw he went to you boys, I thought, oh, that's a big get. So when you get a guy like that who's, I imagine, going to be a fairly important part of your puzzle when you're planning everything, and he goes down in game one, how quickly can you rearrange the lineup to make it work like it would if he was in there, if that makes sense?
You asked Mitch Creek very kindly if he could be Ty Wesley for a couple of weeks is what you do. He was a very focal point of what we were doing in pre-season, to the point where he was probably our most important player. In the absence of Mitch, he really was the key for us in the half court when things weren't quite going to plan. You were just dumping into Ty and something good would happen. So, yeah, it's a huge loss, but we have other parts and we just have to do it a little differently now.
Now, John Robertson, how we get fascinated with imports. Where'd you find this guy and he's doing exactly what you wanted?
Where I found him, in France a few years back. Was watching Casper Ware play, actually, and I saw this other kid, and I thought, geez, I don't mind him. And then I thought, well, I'll go back and watch a few more games of him, and had a bit of a man crush on him. I love a shooter, and I was just like, oh, I've got to get this kid in the league some way, somehow, one day. And I've been on his agent for a few years, and it's always been, sorry, he's in Europe, he's got a good career, good money, he's not for you. So, anyways, I guess this off-season, things just sort of fell into place, and he didn't have a job at that point. And, he was away. He was on holiday, actually, in Jamaica with his partner, enjoying the sun. He just spent the year in Siberia. And I was telling him, if you like the weather in Jamaica, you'd probably like our summers in Australia and whatnot. And, he jumped on board, and we're very, very fortunate to have a player of that level.
And you played against LaMelo Ball. A lot's been made about this program, and the kid looked very good. What did you make of seeing him up close and personal?
Yeah, he's got great potential, some athletic gifts. He's got some a reasonable feel for the game in certain situations. Unbelievable potential there. He's not unlike his older brother, who we played a few years back when he was at UCLA. And he's obviously got a bright future. At this point in time, as an 18-year-old, there's some deficiencies in his game, but you see those are getting a little smaller every time you see him in the flesh. So, he's going to be a good one.
I'm just interested, Simon, just the overall thing of what you're creating in such a short period of time. 10,000 there on the weekend for a new team of any code doesn't really, I think it matters in this conversation. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we sat down and, all we had was an idea 12 months ago. Tommy was in place as the GM, and I had Rowan Short as the operations manager, and I was next on board as the coach. And so we had a little bit of philosophising to do on what we wanted to be and how we wanted to go about it. And one of the things that, Perth is the benchmark in our league, and one of the things they do exceptionally well is get the community involved. And that was one of our goals. And the guys have been working extraordinarily hard, getting out into the schools, getting out of the community, turning up at every event, and just making themselves known that we are part of the Southeast and that we're here for the long haul, and we're willing to be a part of the community. And it's not just a marketing ploy. I think it's sincere. When we first spoke to Mitch about being involved at Southeast. That was part of his deal as well. He wanted to make sure that we weren't just a fly-by-night club. He wanted to make sure we had a community impact as well. So there was a lot of alignment in the way we all thought that basketball needed to go. I think to this point we've been successful, but that's where basketball's made mistakes in the past. You know, as soon as you think you've won the crowd over, you lose them. You've got to continue to forge those relationships and be there for the long term for the community.
So do you sense that the people that are going to your games are new NBL fans, essentially, or do you think there have been others that have swapped over from Melbourne United? I mean, you've been at both, so you kind of get a feel for it probably better than most. What's the makeup?
I'm mostly focused on what's going on the floor.
So yeah, I know, that's true.
When you turn up, you know, there's a lot of familiar faces there for me as well. I've worked in the Southeast and amongst associations, and when I'm walking through the gym before the game starts, I can see faces that I recognise from whether it be my kids' Friday night games or, like, you just see. So there's plenty of people from the Southeast, which is great. There may be a small portion that have come over from Melbourne United, but I don't think that's going to be a big part of where we get our crowds from. I think it's going to be the local community. Let's not discount the LaMelo factor in that home game the other night as well. I'm not an Instagram guy. I don't understand it. But if you've got 4 million people following your daily movements, a few of them are going to probably turn up in the flesh to see what you're doing. So I think that may have had a little bit of an impact as well. So when you talk about, you know, are there new people turning up, I think LaMelo and kids like that and RJ Hampton, they're going to bring a new generation of fan to the game as well.
Well, that's absolutely what's happening. And winners are grinners too, and people like winners, and that's what you guys are at the moment. I remember speaking to you after round one, Simon, and despite the fact you defeated United, you were happy about that, you were annoyed at some of the defensive sets that were being run. You're scoring really heavily. How is your defence looking from your end?
I guess that was probably the concern of mine from the get-go. I felt like offensively we were always going to be a pretty good team, and, you know, even in pre-season we showed an ability to get scores up, but we were chucking the ball around the gym a little bit, which was, you know, sort of lending itself to being a new team and guys trying to work with each other. We've overcome that. At the defensive end, I still think we've got a little ways to go. But watching the league and the way it's officiated and watching the other teams is that, you know, they call it pretty close. And so I think defensively you're on the back foot at the best of times. And across the league, we're seeing pretty high scores. It's not just us giving up big scores too. So I take a little solace in the fact that we might not be the only one incurring a few issues at that end. But, it's certainly going to be a focus and has been a focus to try and build that chemistry at the defensive end. And it's just going to take a little bit of time.
What did you make of Bryce Cotton banking it to beat your old team?
You know, you'd call it a fluke, except he does it every week. He's unbelievable, isn't he? Like, every time he gets that ball in his hands and the clock's running down, you're thinking it's going in until you see it miss. And even when it looks like missing and banking in, he's unbelievable. What a talent. I guess in those situations, you just got to throw two blokes at him and make it get out of his hands and let someone else beat you. I'm sure that was probably the plan, but you couldn't defend it a whole lot better. But Shea Illy defended it really, really well in preseason and watched it go in off the backboard as well. So he's just a rare breed, that kid.
I know you're only 3 games in, but are you starting to have to reevaluate your expectations on the year with what you've achieved early? You said yourself you're a bit shocked to be 3-0, or is it just you've just got to keep it all in perspective because it is early?
Yeah, I don't think there's any sort of realignment. We've never put a numerical sort of goal as to, okay, we want to win this amount of games. It was really just, where did we want to be as a team culturally? Are we continuing to get better at both ends of the floor on a weekly basis? And, you know, putting the processes in place, and then whatever the results are. And at this point in time, whilst we're 3-0, or if we were 0-3, I think those goals remain the same for myself and the club. We're in this for the long term. Whilst having said that, we've never really put a ceiling either on what we can achieve this year. And I know in my conversations with the players when we were bringing them in, you know, how do you perceive expansion teams? What are your expectations of teams? Everybody came in here expecting to win from day one. So whilst we haven't put numerical numbers in there in regards to what our goals are, from a philosophical standpoint, we thought we could compete from day one.
And this week you've got probably your sternest test. The Wildcats at home, they're home on Friday night. Then you've got the doubleheader with their Adelaide 36ers coming to town on Sunday. So busy weekend lined up. The Wildcats away is always, as you well know, so I'm one of the toughest road trips in basketball. You ready for it?
Can't wait for it. From, you know, as soon as we won a couple of games, I was like, geez, I can't wait for that Perth game. Without overlooking Illawarra or any stretch of the imagination. But just in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, this is going to be such an amazing test. You know, we're building this culture. We've got a little bit of winning behind us. And we're in a kind of a honeymoon period at the moment. But I want to see where we're at. And we don't know. And when you get into the cauldron of Perth with 13,000 fans, you know, calls never go your way in that gym. And you're up against an extraordinarily talented team, and they're the champs. And so, you know, you can't get a tougher scenario in Australian basketball than going into Perth and challenging the Wildcats. So I can't wait to see where we're at. I want to be in a little bit of adversity and just see how the guys react and really understand where we're at culturally and where we push forward. And that will give us a pretty good indication of, you know, the reality of what we are right now. And where our improvements need to be made, and who's going to be part of, you know, that those improvements to get to where we need to be.
Well, what you're doing at the moment is absolutely fantastic. It's great not only for your club but for the competition. It's really setting it alight. So good luck this week, Friday night in Perth, and then back home on Sunday. Appreciate your time, Simon. Thank you.
Appreciate the support and the time, guys. Thanks.